When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 17. Hello everyone, and welcome back to the start of our second half of Season 17 for The Dark Paranormal. And forgive my voice for this episode, it appears I have a touch of laryngitis, but I'll make sure to edit anything which is too obscure out. As ever, a huge thank you to everyone who reached out following last week's episode, Possessed Home, Possessed Life. And there were so many of you who did, so thank you so much for interacting with the show. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with the show, email contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And that's the same email address to use if you do have your own personal paranormal experience that you'd like to share with the show and our listeners. Today's experience is one of those which doesn't necessarily have all of the tropes of shadow people or things flying off walls, but it's certainly one that stuck with me from the moment I read it. And it's one that keeps coming back to me when I think of certain things or throughout my day. So hopefully it will do the same to you. Because it's not that we give ever a category to the type of stories or experiences that we share, but if we did, this would go under the no clear reason for this type of haunting. And it's these type of stories I enjoy the most, ones which have no explanation. Or should I say at least no explanation that either I nor the submitter are aware of. But before we get into today's experience, we need of course to say a huge thank you to our wonderful team over on Patreon. When you sign up to our Patreon, not only do you receive every episode on this feed, both ad-free and before anyone else, but you can also receive exclusive access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites, which is released each and every Sunday of the year, irrelevant of a season break, and there's currently well over 60 hours of Patreon-only material for you to go and binge. But sincerely, and I say it each time, but it's true, the best thing about the Patreon community is that, the community. In my opinion, and like yourself, I've probably joined many a group, it's the least toxic group in regards to people interested in the paranormal I've ever come across. It's supportive, it puts down nobody's ideas, nor stories, nor theories. It's a wonderful place to exist. And I get the absolute pleasure of presenting that episode each and every Sunday to our wonderful team at Patreon. So why don't you join us? We'd love to extend an invite just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have: Ghosty Soup, Nathaniel Sanders, Trevor Lucio, Pollyanna Strange, Claudia Razzo, Melissa Potter, AR, Amanda Duval, Nico, Kathy, Alejandra Perez, Helena and Hugo, Amy Dunn, Louis Morris, Erin Hubbs, Kristen Estevan, Donna Folds, John Mellock, Claire Wilson, Andrew Russell, and Sue Wright. Thank you so much for supporting the show, guys. It genuinely means the world to me, and I hope you enjoy all the early ad-free releases and, of course, that back catalogue of Dark Bites episodes to binge during Halloween. And if usually just for yourself, you just watch a spooky film on Halloween itself, why not treat yourself to signing up to Patreon and get access to 70 hours worth of ghost stories told by our listeners. But, for once, well ahead of schedule, it's time. Lower those lights, make yourself comfortable, and of course, most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door, as we hear all about an attachment of pure evil. Hi, I've been a long-time listener, and I finally worked up the courage to share my story. It's something that's literally haunted me for years. I've got my own theories about what it might be that we've encountered. Some of them I think I'll keep to myself. But maybe it's some kind of spirit. Maybe something tied to the house. But it's definitely something that seemed to not want us there, whilst at the same time seeming to need us. Sometimes I wonder if it was something even older. Something we somehow disturbed when we moved in. There were moments when it almost felt intelligent, like it knew how to frighten us in the most personal way. I also can't help but think that maybe it was never tied to the house at all, but to one of us, feeding from our fear, following us even long after we left the original house. I'm definitely staying anonymous, so names and places have all been changed. But what follows is my account of something which is still going on to this day, albeit, thankfully, at a much lesser level. It was supposed to be our first joyful home together. Not a final home, but the sort of home where you figure out each other's quirks, each other's idea of what a happy home is, what a safe space is, the things you like, the things you don't like. My boyfriend and I had no idea what we were getting ourselves into when we found that quaint little house on Evermore Street. It was cheap, which was a much-needed bonus, and by God, did it have character. You know the kind of place that looks charming during the day, with its ivy-covered walls and creaky old porch? And at night, well, it would look like a romantic postcard, with its little amber outdoor lighting giving a homely glow to the entire place. It was meant to give us security, closeness, and it did give us something. Something that even as I type, I hope, is slowly being returned. The first week we were there passed uneventfully, mostly. We unpacked, we arranged the furniture, and we settled in. It wasn't until a few days later I began to notice a few things. The air always felt colder in the hallway, no matter how high we cranked the heat up. And there was a peculiar smell that lingered in the spare room. Like damp, but not damp. Almost earthy. Like soil. My boyfriend brushed it off as the quirks of an old house. "It's probably just drafts," he would say with a shrug. He then mentioned that his uncle's old place used to have a similar smell. A damp, earthy, like wet soil smell. They just never figured out where it came from. He said it did always give him an uneasy feeling, though. But they learned to just ignore it. It was almost like he was trying to convince himself, rather than me. Then came the nights. The first night we moved in, we did hear scratching. It was in the walls. Soft at first, like the claws of a mouse. And the walls were hollow. "We're basically in nature, babe. Don't stress," my boyfriend would say. But it didn't take long for those noises to grow. They were more insistent. They were louder. Like it was trying to get our attention. Even my boyfriend's face would change at these sounds. But still, he'd smile and say, "So it's not mice, it's rats. No big difference." And so we would joke about rats in the attic and in the walls. But I knew it wasn't rats. One evening, well, morning, after a few days without any scratching sounds whatsoever, was my first heart-in-mouth scenario. It was 4:20 a.m. when I woke up. I know this because I glanced at the clock. And I woke up because of a sound. A steady scraping noise. Slow. Deliberate. My boyfriend slept through all of it, completely oblivious. On and on it went, until I couldn't take it anymore. I had to go and investigate. I got up, I crept to the door, and I slowly opened it. The hallway stretched out into the darkness, but the air felt thick. Like there was a weight to the air itself. Like I was intruding on something in my own home. I called out a very soft, very low, almost not escaping my lips, "Hello?" Nothing. Just silence. I stood there for what felt like forever, listening. But there was nothing. Nothing but a feeling. A feeling of being watched. Which went from, "Am I being watched?" to, "I'm being watched." Suddenly, I had the strangest sensation of being rushed at from all sides. Like some invisible, collective individual, and that's the only way I can describe it, was closing in on me. While I slowly walked backwards in a daze, trying subconsciously to put my feet in the exact same location they were when I was walking forward. To say I was in a state of shock would be an understatement. I closed the bedroom door quietly and I went back to bed, my heart pounding. And I didn't sleep a wink that night. The following morning, my boyfriend swore he didn't hear a thing. And I almost convinced myself it was just my imagination. So I walked into the spare room to grab some old blankets, ones that we kept in a closet in there. And that's when I noticed them. They were on the inside of the window frame in the spare room. Deep, jagged marks. Claw marks. Like something had tried to claw its way out. Well, I felt a chill run down my spine. I knew they were not there yesterday. I'd put the very same blankets in there that day. As my boyfriend was clearly not disturbed by anything going on, I tried to carry on as if everything was normal. But the house wouldn't let me. It was the little things. Doors that wouldn't stay shut, no matter how many times I'd close them. I remember one afternoon, I shut the door to the spare room 3 times in a row, only to turn around within an instant and find it open. The lights would flicker at odd moments, like if I'm brushing my teeth of a night. Suddenly, the bathroom light would start to dim, then brighten, almost like it was breathing. Once, the kitchen light went out completely, only to come back on when I left the room. And then there's the TV. That would turn itself on in the middle of the night, always to a station on static. I'd hear the faint hiss coming from the living room, and I'd walk in to find the screen filled with that eerie glowing fuzz, the remote untouched on the coffee table. My boyfriend said I was imagining things, that I was stressed from the move, but I knew better. There was something in that house. Something did not want us there. Then, maybe around 3 weeks in, something happened I will never forget. Something that still makes my heart race whenever I think about it. It was late, past midnight. I was alone in the living room, and my boyfriend had gone to bed early, tired from work. I was on the couch, half asleep, half awake, and I hear it. A soft, rhythmic creaking. At first, I thought it was the house settling. But then it grew louder, more distinct. And it was coming from above me, from the ceiling. I stared up, my breath caught in my throat. The creaking moved, slow and deliberate, across the ceiling, as if someone, or something, was walking in the attic. My first instinct was to call out for my boyfriend, but something stopped me. A feeling deep in my gut told me to stay quiet, to listen. What were now evidently footsteps stopped directly above me. I held my breath, every muscle in my body tensed. Then there was a sound, a low muffled thud, followed by another and another. It was like something heavy was being dragged across the attic floor. My eyes were glued to the ceiling. I could feel my heart pounding in my ears. And then, as suddenly as it started, it stopped. I've no idea how long I sat there, frozen, waiting for something else to happen. Eventually, I forced myself to move, to get up, to go to the bedroom. I didn't tell my boyfriend. I mean, what could I have said? There's someone in the attic. Something walked and dragged things around in the dead of the night. I don't think so. The next day, I tried to convince myself it was just a dream. And I walked into the hallway, and I noticed something that made my blood run cold. The attic hatch, which had always been flush with the ceiling, was now slightly ajar. I could see the dark gap, just wide enough for something to slip through. Note I say something. I do not mean wide enough for someone. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, for your kids, and your retirement. If you're anything like me, you would have believed you need a degree or you need some expert knowledge and a load of money before you invest, but it's just not true. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals. They then automatically invest your money for you. And now Acorns is putting their money into your future. Open an Acorns Later IRA and get up to a 3% match on new contributions. And that's extra money for your retirement. Acorns has allowed me to look back at my past at times when I've thought, investment isn't for people like me. And although now I'm a huge fan of Acorns, I just wish they existed 25 years ago when I first started earning money. Because by having the wrong perception that investment isn't for people like me, I've not given my money the chance to grow. But that's something, even at this point in life, I'm going to make right. So why don't you head over to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I pushed that hatch closed, my hands shaking, and I tried to forget about it. But the next few days, things started happening that I could not ignore. Objects weren't where I left them. My keys would disappear from the kitchen counter, only to turn up in the spare room. The faucet in the bathroom would start running on its own. The hot tap, but the water would be ice cold, despite no issues with our hot water supply. I began to feel like I was losing my mind. One evening, I came home from work to find the front door open. Now, I'm not stupid. I was certain I'd locked that door before I left. My boyfriend, who was with me, insisted it was just a mistake I'd made. But I could also see the worry in his eyes. We checked the house together, room by room, but nothing seemed out of place. But still, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were not alone. The following night, I was in the kitchen, washing dishes, and I hear a noise from the spare room, like someone shifting their weight on old wooden floorboards. I turned off the water and I listened, my hands still wet and soapy. The noise came again, followed by a faint creak. I took a breath and I walked down the hallway, keeping my footsteps as light as possible. The spare room door was closed, but as I reached for the handle, I hesitated. My heart was pounding, and every instinct told me to turn around and run. But I couldn't. I pushed the door open, and the room was empty. The only thing out of place was the window, which was open once more, the curtains gently billowing in the cold breeze. I watched for a moment or two, and then I walked over, shut the window with my hands trembling, and I backed quickly out of the room. I tried to tell myself it was just the wind. The latch must have been loose. But I knew it wasn't true. Something was in that house, and it was getting stronger, bolder. The breaking point came a few nights later. My boyfriend was working late, and I was alone in the house. I'm sat on the couch, distracting myself with a book, when I hear the attic hatch creak open. I felt my stomach drop. I felt a wave of nausea wash over me. I didn't want to look, but I could not help it. I tilted my head back, and there it was, the hatch, hanging open. The total black darkness above it, staring back at me. I grabbed my phone, I called my boyfriend, my hands shaking so badly I could barely hold it. He didn't pick up, and I had a surge of panic. I needed to get out of that house immediately. I grabbed my keys and I ran for the front door. But as I did so, I heard a noise behind me. A soft, almost curious tapping, like someone drumming their fingers out of boredom against a wall. Well, I didn't look back. I ran out of that house, slamming the door behind me, and I did not stop until I was in my car. The doors locked, my breath coming in ragged gasps. I sat there, staring at the house, half expecting to see something or someone staring back at me from one of the windows. But there was nothing, just this dark, empty house. I waited until my boyfriend got home, and I told him everything in the driveway. The noises, the open hatch, the feeling of being watched. He didn't argue. He didn't try to tell me I was imagining things. He nodded. His face was pale. And he said, "We're leaving." I could tell from the look in his eyes that there was more. There was something he wasn't telling me. Why the instant agreement? Why no jokes about wildlife? It was as if he'd seen something himself. Something he couldn't bring himself to talk about. Regardless, we packed up that night, throwing only our essentials into boxes, and I genuinely mean essentials. We left so much behind. Furniture, dishes, clothes. None of it seemed worth the risk of staying another night. We found a motel and stayed there for a few days whilst we figured out our next step. But we never went back to that house on Evermore Street. A few weeks later, I got a call from that landlord. He wanted to know why we'd left so suddenly, why we'd abandoned his house and our lease. Well, I tried to explain, as sanely as I could, but how do you tell someone their house is haunted? That there's something living in the walls, in the attic, something that watches and waits for you? Of course, he didn't believe me. He just wanted his money, which he was more than welcome to, on the proviso we didn't have to go there to give it to him. But at least, finally, we were out of there. We found a lovely new place, a small apartment in a different neighbourhood. Nothing special, but it was safe. And right now, that was all we cared about. We unpacked, settled in, and we started to forget about Evermore Street. But clearly, something hadn't forgotten about us. One night, a few weeks after we moved in, I woke up suddenly. I didn't know why at first, but then I heard it. Soft, creaking footsteps. My heart skipped a beat. I held my breath. The sound was faint, coming from the hallway. I decided to turn to wake my boyfriend, but he was already awake, his eyes wide in the dark. He'd heard it too. We both lay there, frozen, as the creaking and the footsteps grew louder and closer. They stopped right outside the bedroom door. I felt a chill run down my spine. I could barely breathe. The door was closed, but I could still see the shadow of something underneath it, a faint outline in the dim light from the hallway. I reached out, grabbing my boyfriend's hand, and we stayed like that, not daring to move until the shadow finally disappeared and the creaking faded away. That next morning, I could tell we both wanted to talk about it, but there was nothing to say. We mumbled apologies to each other when we got in each other's way to make breakfast, both our minds playing over the previous night's events. We both knew what we heard and seen. We both knew where it had come from. The house on Evermore Street. Somehow, that thing had followed us. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I knew it was the same thing. The same feeling of being watched. The same sense of unease. That strange scent of earth in the air. Not long after, it started its old tricks. Small things at first. Doors opening just after you'd shut them. Lights flickering. The TV turning on to a static channel. Everything like before. It was kind of letting us know it was the same being. The feeling of being watched was back, stronger than ever, and I just could not shake the feeling that whatever that thing was in the house in Evermore Street had latched onto us, and it wasn't going to let us go. One night, I came home from work, and I found my boyfriend sitting on the couch, staring at the wall. He was pale. His eyes looked hollow. I asked him, "What's wrong?" He just shook his head. He said he wouldn't talk about it. But I knew something had to have happened. That night, he did not sleep. He sat up in bed, fixing his eyes on the door, as if waiting for something. A few days later, I found him once more, in the spare room, stood by the window as it was open, and the curtains again fluttering in the breeze. And he was just stood there, staring out into the night. I called his name. He didn't respond. I walked over and rubbed his arm, and he kind of flinched, like he hadn't even realized I was there. He looked at me, his eyes wide and terrified, and he said, "We need to leave. It's not safe here." You'd think I'd question him, or even, as a better person would do, maybe try and console him. Instead, I turned on my heels and I went and got our two largest suitcases. I won't lie, a part of me was excited that we were leaving this place. Where? I didn't care. The loose ends that would need... No, I'm sorry. There's that saying, some things are more important. And believe me, if you've ever had the bad luck enough to go through what we went through, your priorities change pretty fast. We left once both cases were full. Again, we didn't have a plan. We got in that car and we drove. We left everything else behind. We had a full hour of silent driving. Only I, then seeing a particular sign, suggested we headed for his parents' house, which was basically this way and about 100 miles. Well, I got on wonderfully with his mother. She's like my own mother. And although I don't think she's believed everything that I've told her, she was empathetic and she listened. Both her and her husband are very rational people, and my boyfriend was raised to be exactly the same. So, apart from obviously needing a location to head to, I think part of me wanted them to see what this thing had done to their rational son. To see what they would make of it all. And I wasn't disappointed. My boyfriend, surprisingly, opened up more and more, even telling them the things I knew he was keeping from me. Apparently, in the actual Evermore house, he'd been pushed to the ground 3 consecutive times. As in, he'd get to his feet and be pushed. He'd get to his feet and be pushed. He'd get to his feet and be pushed. As for the place we just fled, it had pinned him to the wall by his neck and raised him so he could barely take his body weight on his tiptoes before being dropped like a sack of flour. I could almost see the skepticism leave his parents' bodies, replaced with both a healthy fear of the things they don't know and a massive concern for their son. I've still no idea what that thing is that's followed us from Evermore Street, and I don't think I ever will. All I do know is that, for whatever reason, it wanted something from us, and it wasn't going to stop until it got it. At least, that's what I genuinely first thought. But it's been a few years now, and we've moved several times, and this thing has followed us every time. But our time in each place has been longer and longer. The feeling of being watched has never completely gone away, but it's grown weaker and weaker with each move. It's like whatever it is has either started to lose interest or power, or maybe both. And I hope it stays that way. This house, the one I'm writing this very email in, has been our longest stay so far. And I hope now we can finally stop running. I still occasionally think about the Evermore house, though. I wonder if anyone else lives there now. I wonder if it's fine for them, as it's been with us. Or if it's not lost either interest nor power, but chose to return to Evermore Street due to who lives there now. I wonder if the new residents have felt cold air, the unease, the sense of being watched, and that they're not alone. I sincerely hope not. I wouldn't wish what we've had to go through on anyone. Thank you for reading my story. Just writing it down has been so therapeutic. Even if slightly jarring to see just what we've been through in an almost list fashion. I'd love to hear your thoughts, or if any listeners have experienced something similar. All the best, a terrified listener. Well, Anonymous, firstly, thank you so much for your submission. Secondly, I'll keep this brief because my throat has gone numerous times. It took me much longer to record this than I expected. But additionally, this has been a phenomenal experience. Ever since reading it, I've thought this was great, and I'll tell you why. It's very cerebral. We don't have smashed plates thrown against walls. We don't have an exorcism. And I'm not putting those stories down. Some of the most believable and terrifying things for me have been those very things. Of course, your boyfriend was pinned against a wall and raised off his feet, and you could argue, well, that's that sort of thing, Kev. But you didn't see that. Everything that you saw or you experienced is much more cerebral. It's the kind of primal fear we all have when you, for example, walk upstairs after turning all the lights off downstairs. And that's the sort of fear that I really find interesting. That natural terror. And this experience is filled with it, and I truly, truly enjoyed every single part of it. Reading it was a struggle, I'll give you that, but I've genuinely enjoyed this experience more than most I've done, I'll be perfectly honest. Because we don't even address things like this earthly smell. What is this smell of damp slash soil? There are so many questions that don't even reach your top five questions about this episode that should be answered. So thank you, Anonymous. It's one hell of an experience. Now I'm going to let you guys go before my throat goes, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for choosing to spend your time with me here on your show, The Dark Paranormal. And until next time, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you all back here next week for episode 7, and believe me, it's a great one, of The Dark Paranormal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.